says the Mishnah, B'sidei Achuzo L'Hokel L'Hachmir. We mentioned in the beginning of the Perek that there's a Kula and a Chumra when it comes to redeem B'sidei Achuzo. So we know that the inherent difference between a stay achuzah and a stay mikneh is that a stay achuzah has a flat rate policy when it comes to redemption, when it comes to pidyon. The core of space, no matter what space it is, it gets redeemed by the same standard. So the Mishnah says it doesn't make a difference if you're makdish b'cholos hamachos, where you makdish b'pardesos from Sabastoi, noisin zera choymer soerim b'chamishim shekel kesef. You're always redeeming the field by the shear of chamishim shekel kesef for the base core. What these fields are, choylus hamochos, some learn it's more urban, it's the middle of the city. Choylus comes from the Lashon, people dray around, like Machol. Other Rishayim, the Shita Mugubetzis learns, it's a field that doesn't really grow much. And obviously, Pardesi Sabastoi, we have in many Sugis Hashas, that's referring to very valuable orchards. So it's irrelevant of the quality of the ground. The mice, you're always going to redeem it back by the shear of Chamishim Shekel Kesef. It's a similar type of question that we had in the beginning of the Perek, which was, this Mishnah seems to clearly be guiding us away from learning that there's some kind of concept of erechin by a stay achuza, which is that really the question is, when you're makdish the stay achuza, are you really being makdish the goof of the karka? Or what you're really doing is saying, I'm going to give hektish this amount of money. Right? I'm not really being makdish the goof of karka. The Mishnah is not mashma that way. The Mishnah here is mashma that you, because otherwise it's not a kula. It's not a kula. It's like a kinui. It's another way of saying, I'm going to give hektish this amount of money. So it's not a kula or a chumra, how much the field is worth. Because in a sense, that's not what I'm being makdish. I'm being makdish not the shavis of the field, but I'm being makdish this amount of money. So the Mishnah again is mashma that it's a form of redemption. As we go into the Rishonim, we'll see this story even more, that some of the Rishonim seem to understand that the shear of Chamishim Shekel is actually an evaluation that the Torah gave. It's not stam, a number, the way we redeem it, based on this number. It's actually a Shavuos that the Torah put on it, because we'll see, there's a Rabbeinu Gershon that actually uses the Lashon, Eino Noel LeKarkois, when he comes to explain the shear of Chamishim Shekel. He says, we know in Choshen Mishpot, if I sell you a piece of real estate, I mean, the last couple of years, everybody sees, ain't no karkois. There is no price for real estate. Some Rishonim hold, even if you charge double, there's no ain't no karkois. Because the field has no price. The karka is what the guy's going to pay for it. That's the shavius of the karka. Some Rishonim say double is already, once you go beyond double, there is a concept of ain't no. But there are many Rishonim, and it's brought down in the Mechaber, that there's no way no at all by karka. So I could sell you what somebody would say is $500,000 property, I could sell it to you for $2 million, and I'm not over oino. There's no oino on it. Because there is no price. So Ben Gershon, the way he sees it, is that since karka doesn't really have a rigid value, if the Torah came and said Chamishim Shekel, that's the value. In other words, this is an evaluation. What's always the evaluation of karka? How much are you ready to pay for it? So the Torah now said, this is the market. The market for this is Chamishim Shekel Kesef. So it actually reflects a true Shavuos, which would explain why Rebbe Lezer in the Mishnah says that even if you give a stay mikneh, you also redeem it by this shear. Because it's really an evaluation. It's what the Torah gives the value, the standard that the Torah gives to the value of the Sodeh. So the Mishnah says, either way, you always redeem it back by this shear of Chamishim Shekel Kesef. Ubistei mikneh, noisein eshovyov. Then we make an erech, we make an evaluation, a shuma, which the process we'll learn about in the end of the Masechta, how they come up with an evaluation. And that's how you redeem it back. Rebbe Lezer oimel, echot stei mikneh, echot stei achuzah. This evaluation of Chamishim Shekel for Beis Kur is always the case, even in a stay mikneh. So if that's the case, Ma Bein Stei Achuzel will stay mikneh. What's the difference? So the Gaon, the Vilna Gaon explains what's forcing the Tana to say that there is a difference. Maybe there's no difference. So the Vilna Gaon explains, because since the Parsha the Torah puts the two separately, Im Mistei Achuzasa, and then it says Vim Mistei Miknosai, so it's Muchach from the Psukim that there's got to be a different halacha. So what is the different halacha? She Bistei Achuzah Unoisin Chaymish, U Bistei Mikna Inunoisin Chaymish. You don't have to add a Chaymish to the stay mikne. Now, what is a stay mikne? We began to discuss last week. It's a big machloikis. Machloikis, we learned it's a machloikis rishonim. It's clearly a machloikis achronim. Chazon Ish Shita in Masechet Shviyos and in many other places in Zroim is that a stay mikne halachically is only something that you don't permanently own. You don't permanently own it. If you would permanently own it, it would have a din of a stay achuzah. There's no difference between a stay mikna and a stay achuzah, other than the fact that a stay mikna really is like a king in Paris. So technically, according to the Chazon Ish, not technically, he says it. According to the Chazon Ish, if Reuven goes and he's mafker his field, the halacha is that if you zoichem in a hefker, yovel is not mafkia. Yovel is only mafkia transactions. But Yovel is not mafkia maisa hefka. So if Reuven is mafkir his field, and Shimon goes and is kind of the field mina hefka, it's his forever. It's not a stay achuzah, he didn't yarshan it. According to the Chazon Ish, it has the same din as our Mishnah. So according to the Chazon Ish, the definition of a stay achuzah is not that you yarshan it. That's the translation, but that's not the definition. The definition is a field that I permanently own, that's called a stay achuzah. And anything I don't permanently own, that's called a stay mikneh. That's his shita. The problem we had with the Chazon Ish is that according to the Chazon Ish, a stay mikneh, right? The way he understands it, is only if you don't own it permanently, how could the Toras Kahanim and the Sifri have a hava meaning? That if you yarshan from your mother, then there wouldn't be a din of stay achuzah. According to the Chazon Ish, how you yarshan it is irrelevant. You don't even need to be a yevush. According to Chazon Ish, as long as I own the field permanently, that is by definition a stay achuzah. And yet the Sifri, without a ribuy, would exclude a yerusha from your mother as not being stay achuzah. So it's not clear what the Chazon Ish would do with that drasha. The Brisker Rav and the Shiurim here also learned like the Chazon Ish, that the stay mikneh, because otherwise he says, I don't understand. Why didn't the Mishnah give a very simple difference? That a stay mikneh goes out by Yovel, the stay achuzah doesn't. And he says, because as we'll learn later, a stay mikneh goes to the Kohanim, so a stay achuzah goes to the Kohanim if you don't redeem it back. And stay mikneh obviously doesn't. So the Brisker Rav says, that's not an inherent difference between a stay achuzah and a stay mikneh. That's only because a stay mikneh you don't really own permanently. Stay mikneh, you only have a king in Pegas. So you can't be makdish it forever, conceptually, because it's not yours. You can only be makdish something, which we'll see if this chilik that the Brisker Rav gives is mukhach. One can actually say, that without, because otherwise you really have a problem. Why did the Torah have to say that a stay mikneh doesn't go by yovel to the kohanim? See, a stay achuzah, if you don't redeem it back, it automatically becomes a property of the kohanim. Right? It stays by hektish, then it goes over to the kohanim. A stay mikneh doesn't. Right? If we just take the Brisker Rav's way of learning, we don't need a pasuk to tell me that a stay mikneh, doesn't go out by yovel. Of course it doesn't. How could it go to the kohanim by yovel? The guy who gave it, lechatchila, he only owned it until yovel. He only had a king in Paris. He only owned it until yovel. So, but again, the Brisker Rav's way of thinking is similar to the Chazon Ish, that the the limitation of a stay mikne is because it's not owned permanently. That is, whatever limitation stay mikne has is a practical limitation. I just want to throw out to you that the possibility that even though we'll see later, there's no question that after the Torah said that a stay mikne doesn't go by Yevil to Kahanim, that's true. But I believe that it's not that the practicality dictated the halacha. I think it's fakelt. I think the halacha dictated the practicality. It's true. Now that the halacha is that when you makdish a stay mikne, it only goes until Yovel, then it goes back to the original owner, not to the Kohanim. Now we can say, in retrospect, that it's only a Kenyan Paris that you have. But I would say that the concept is lav dafka true, because we find the Moshel, there's a pasuk, that when a father dies, his daughter goes out from being an Omer Vriya. And the Gemara in Kedushin wants to make a Kal V'Chomer. The Gemara says, Masim Monim, She'ein Moitziyin Mirshus Av, Moitziyin Mirshus Ad. The halacha is that when a girl becomes 12, brings the proper Simonim, so she's Yaitzim Mirshus Ad. But the father still has a domain. B'nurei Beis Avi, until she becomes a Bogeres, the father has full rights over his daughter. Once she becomes a Bogeres, she's Yaitzim Mirshus Av. So you see, to leave the Odin is easier. So the Gemara says, Misa is Moitzi Mishas Av. Kol Shekein, it's Moitzi Mishas Av. That's the Gemara. And the Gemara goes back and forth with Pesukim and Kal V'Chomers. So the Ol Sameach, in his Chidushim al HaRambam, he brings down from his brother-in-law, that his brother-in-law had a Gevaldik Akasha. His brother-in-law, Rav Avigdor Kohen, he said, I don't understand why we need any Droshes and Pesukim. The father owns his daughter so long that he's alive. The father doesn't own his daughter after he's dead. It's not part of his property. She goes out of his domain. He says, so what do you need a posik, a Kal V'Chomer, a drasha, that the girl would go out when she becomes, when he dies? By default, it's going to happen. He doesn't own her past that time. If I rent something for 2 years, I can only sublet it for 2 years. I can't sublet it for three, because I don't have bailus past 3 years. Past 2 years. So the third year is not mine to sell. It's a great kasha. Why does the Gemara need psukim and droshes? That a father can't, that a girl will leave the domain of the Odin when he dies. It's poshut like that. That's his question. The father owns his daughter, and the rest of my estate I own forever, even lachar misa, meaning I have the ability to transfer it to my descendants or my yorshim. My daughter, I only have like a king in Paris. The sons don't take over the daughter. A son can't sell his sister as an omavriya. Why? Because the father inherently didn't have the right to be merish his daughter to his son. Learned out of a pasuk, is nachalta moisim uvnechem, v'loy b'nei sech, which simply means that the father only owns his daughter so long that he's alive. It's not his property to be merish. So the Or Sameach's brother-in-law is asking, so what do you need a pasuk? That's his question. It's very similar to what the Brisker Rav is telling us over here, which is that a stay mikne is limited by the fact that you don't own it permanently, which is exactly where the Chazon Ish learns. The limitation of a stay mikne is not how you got the stay mikne, but it's the fact that since I don't own the stay mikne forever, so I'm limited. So the way I learned to answer our Sameach's brother-in-law's question, it's not pashut at all. Because there are times where I have a koyach to make a chalois, and then the chalois has its own life. It's not me anymore. Okay? If I own something for a year and I sell it to you, you're using my koyach. The Gemara is all over Shas, use the lotion. Ma mocha rishon l'sheni, kol zchus shetoveh liyada. So if Reuven sells Shimon a field, he's really selling him the rights that he has. And the Gemara uses that to the benefit of the lokeach and to the detriment of the lokeach. If the field has a lien, Obviously, the lien stays because the Rishon can't sell more than he has. That's what the Gemara says. But sometimes, the Torah gives me a koyach to make a chalois, to activate something. When I activate something, that activation sometimes goes beyond what I even own. L'moshel. If a father himself would want to use his daughter for an oma, he couldn't. She's not his oma. His father doesn't have the rights to use his daughter as an oma. He has ma'isi yadayim. He owns a ma'isi yadayim. If she works, he gets the income. But the Torah gave him a right to make his daughter to an oma. Now, once he makes his daughter into an oma of Ria has all kind of dinim. There's a din of yiud. There's a whole new process of kiddushin, which according to some doesn't even work with kesef. It's machlekes tanoim, right? So really what the father is doing is activating something. He himself doesn't even own his daughter as an oma. But the Torah was megala that he can create a status of an oma. Then how does the oma leave her domain? The Torah gave a process. There's a way how she goes out. There's a process. But really, when the Adon is working with the daughter, he's not using the father's schusim. The father activated an oma. Now she's an oma. So now we understand that when the father's rights cease to exist, she doesn't automatically leave. Because the Adon wasn't using the father's schusim. The Adon was using her as an oma. And once the father himself didn't own his daughter as an oma. The father created this oma. The father activated this matzav of an oma. But the father didn't own his daughter as an oma. And therefore, that's what I mean when I say that sometimes the Torah gives you a koyach to activate something. It's no longer working with your strength. You activated it. Now it's a monster on its own. Now it goes on its own. But mele, the same thing by Estei Mikneh. If the halacha would be that if somebody is makdish Estei Mikneh, it goes Yovel Akoyanim, that would be halacha in Hilchas Yoredeya, not Choshe Mishput. That would be halacha in Hilchas Hektish, and it would be too bad on the original owner. The owner wouldn't be able to say, well, one second, you only... The original owner, when he gave it to Hektish, he also didn't have in mind that it should go to the Koyanim. The Torah said that that's the halacha, that Hektish that's not redeemed, this is what happens to it. It's part of the process, the thought process you got to think about before you sell your field to somebody for 49 years. You got to think about that. You know, maybe he'll sell it and nobody will redeem it. And that would be something you have to think about. But if, in fact, the halacha would be that Estei Mikneh goes to the Kohanim, you would not be able to go to the Kohanim and say, one second, who is he? Because the Kohen says it's not him. The Torah said that this is a process, this is what happens to a stay mikneh. He activated it. He had the ability to activate it. And once he activated it, it remained. So I think we're draying around. I think we gotta look at how the Torah dictates the pidyon works. And then we could go back and say, well, you know, you're only being makdish it as such. But if there wouldn't be limitation, that's what I'm saying. But again, Chazon Ish and the Brisker Rav are clearly taking that approach. They're taking the approach of, we brought a riot that Rabbeinu Gershon also doesn't hold that way. Because Rabbeinu Gershon says that a goy, that Yarshin's his father, it's not a regular Yerusha. And therefore, it doesn't have a din of a stay achuzim. According to the Chazon Ish, it's not relevant of how the Yerusha works, it's his. So we clearly have this, I'm just telling you, in this Mishnah, the Brisker Rav is clearly siding with the Chazon Ish's way of looking at it. That the stay mikneh is dictated by how long you're going to own it. And clearly Rabbeinu Gershon will tell us that it's not dictated as such, it depends how you acquired it. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Huna, Hikdish Sodeh Melei Eilonis, Kishehu Poidon, this is a very difficult din. Here the individual was Makdish afield. Okay, obviously the first question that you have to analyze is, what's he being Makdish? Is he being makdish just the trees? So he's also being makdish the field. Okay? Assuming that he's being makdish the field, so then it's a regular case of being makdish. When you redeem it, you should redeem it back with the shear of chamishim shekel kesef. But Rav Huna comes and says an unbelievable chiddush. He says, "Hikdish sodim le ilonis, kshu poide poide ilonis b'shavion, v'choizer u poide karka beizer achoy mesayirim b'chamishim shekel kes." Rav Huna comes and he says, "We break it up. This guy got up and he was makdish his field, right? And his field was full of trees. So he says, even though this is a stei achuza." And our pi halacha stei achuz is redeemed by a flat rate of 50 shkolim for every base core. He says that's not the way you redeem it back. First, we get somebody to evaluate the trees like you would evaluate anything you makdish. You makdish your car, metalkalim. We evaluate the trees, and then after the trees are paid for, then we evaluate the karka. That's tremendous chiddush. That's Rav Huna. Now, if you asked me without looking at the Gemara, what would I say the biggest chiddush of Rav Huna? The biggest chiddush of Rav Huna is that he sees this as two separate things. The guy got up and he just said, "I'm being makdish my field." Rav Huna says, "I don't look at it that way. I look at it like we look at the trees as one transaction, and the trees are like metaltalin, like you will makdish trees independently, and then you makdish the field, separate thing." That's the chiddush of Rav Huna. The Gemara, for some reason, goes in a whole different track. The Gemara says, "Alma kesov Rav Huna oda makdish b'ayin yofer makdish." What does that have to do with anything? Oda makdish b'ayin yofer makdish is a generic. It's a generic machlekes in Bava Basra. It doesn't just pertain to Hekdish, it pertains to Mecha Chumemka. When a person makes a transaction, that's vague, a vague transaction. So we have a policy, what's included in the transaction, what's not included in the transaction. So when we say it's Ayin Yofe means anything that's vague goes along with the sale. And Ayin Ra means that anything that's vague doesn't go along with the sale. That's very generic Shaila. That has nothing to do with Rav Huna. Rav Huna came here and told me an unbelievable chiddush in Hilchas Pidyon, how you redeem something. The Torah dictates that when you redeem something back, you redeem it back on this cheshbon. If it's a stei achuzah, you redeem it back based on chamishim shekel kesef. And Rav Huna came and he said, "You know what? Even though that's the rule, but if somebody's makdish a field with trees, I break it up. I look at it like the trees were a separate hekdish." That's not the generic machlekes of makdish b'ayin yofer makdish. In fact, the typical case of makdish b'ayin yofer is where you makdish a tree, then where you makdish the field also. So if you hold makdish b'ayin yofer, the field goes along with it. If you hold makdish b'ayin ra, so you're not giving the field. What does this have to do with Rav Huna? What does this have to do with Rav Huna? In fact, if you turn the daf, Rav Papa seems to clearly state, not like Rav Huna, which is the way you would understand it. And Rav Papa at Grada happens to hold Makdash is buying Yofa Makdash. Grada. If you look on Omer Beis, Rav Papa says as follows. Omer Rav Papa, by the two dots towards the top of the daf. First he goes through to Rosh, which is that if the field that's not plantable, b'chlal. And then he goes to the union of Kak. Hikdish ilonus. So he says, if you makdish ilonus, he says the halacha is that when you redeem it, poideh b'shovya. Ask the Gemara, what do you mean? Why b'shovya? The land goes along with it. And once the land goes along with the tree, so you redeem it together? So the Gemara says, V'chitema ilonos akdish araloy akdish. Elam, are you going to tell me maybe you don't mean to be makdish the field at all? V'amin ardoi man de mazvin dikla l'chavre. If somebody sells a palm tree, koni le mishfuli atohim. He owns it completely, from the ground level all the way down. So you see, when you sell a tree, you're selling the land beneath it. So what do you see here? This is Meichel buying Yofer Meichel. You're selling all the ground below it. Still, the Gemara says that when you redeem it, you don't redeem it as a tree and ground. You redeem it as one piece. You don't redeem it separately. This seems to be in direct contrast with Rav Huna. Rav Huna said, "When you makdish a sod and mole ilonais, you redeem them separately." The Gemara later is saying that's not shayach. The Gemara later is saying it's automatic if you redeem. The Gemara even gives a more extreme case: you only makdish the tree, but if in the tree it includes land, then you redeem it one shavius. And that has nothing to do with Ayin Yof, Ayin Ra. So actually, if you look in the Raivad, which is the Raivad I asked you to look up here in the Rambam, he actually uses that Gemara as a Raya, not like Rav Huna. The Rambam says in Perek Dalet Halacha Tesvav, Hoysa Malei Ilonais Afa Pishalei Pirish, Hare Higdish Gam Ho Ilonais, says the Rambam, Shekol HaMakdish Ba'ayin Yof Hu Makdish. ומחשבין את אילונויס בשוויהם, והקרקע מוידד אין אויסו. And on that, you redeem it back based on the flat rate. קמז רייבד, אומר אברהם, אין זה נכון, או זה אינוי. אלא הרי נפתין על גבי סודה. Says the רייבד, I disagree with the Rambam. Really, you should redeem it as one piece. He says, are you going to tell me, Rav Huna, the Gemara on Amud Beis clearly states otherwise. Because the Gemara says that if you are makdish the land, it goes together as one piece. Now the Ravid's kasha is a plea, really, on the Rambam. But I think what's even more difficult is that the Gemara here seems to be saying that Rav Huna is nothing more than Makdish Bayin Yofer, when it's really not the case. And if you scrutinize the Lashon HaRambam, you'll see that the Rambam himself only uses Ayin Yofer to tell us what you're being Makdish. Look at the Lashon HaRambam. The Rambam says, Hoysa Milo Ilonis, Afa Pishaloi Piresh, even though you didn't clearly state that you're being makdish the trees, hare hikdish gam ha'ilonos, the trees go along with the hikdish, shekol ha'magdish, bayin yofer hu makdish. The Rambam doesn't use it for pidyon. The Rambam uses ayin yofer to tell you that that's why the trees are included. Then he makes a separate statement. Then he says, umchashvin, eso ilonos bishov yehom, the hakarka moided in moiso. The elko sell opinion of kol shon. What I see in this Rambam is that the Rambam himself is admitting that Ayin Yofer doesn't dictate the din of Rav Huna. Ayin Yofer only dictates that if you makdish the field, you makdish the trees. That's statement number one. But that wasn't such a chiddush. Rav Huna's main chiddush was that you redeem it separately. That's the chiddush of Rav Huna. And that doesn't buy into makdish buying yofer makdish. That's a halachic shaila. That's a separate halachic shaila. L'chayr, it wouldn't even make a difference what you're thinking. If you're thinking, you know, I'd like this to be two, I'd like this to be one. The fact is, at the same moment, you will makdish the tree in the field. And as the Gemara says later, if the field is included, you redeem it back like a steachuz. So I think the Ravid's kash and the Rambam is really a kash on the Gemara. Because we have to understand the Gemara. The Gemara, for some reason, is using Makdish Bayin Yofer Makdish as Rav Huna's reason. Which, by the way, the Raivad doesn't argue with either. The Raivad doesn't argue with that. That Makdish is Bayin Yofer Makdish. He has no problem with that. The Rambam Paskin is that way all over. The Raivad is never masik on that. That's fine. Makdish Bayin Yofer Makdish. So I'll ask you something else. If the Ravid is right, that the Gemara in Yudalud Amud Aleph holds like Rav Huna, and the Gemara in Yudalud Amud Beis holds not like Rav Huna, and the Gemara in Yudalud Amud Aleph bases the halach of Rav Huna on Makdish Bayin Yofer, That would basically mean that the Gemara Amud Beis is paskening makdish by your makdish, which would be a conflict in halacha because we don't pasken that way. There's what the Ravid is just attacking the Rambam's psak, but we have to make amends with the sugya. The sugya doesn't work. Obviously, it's two different cases, but the Ravid is what I'm saying is that the Ravid is saying it's one case. Because the Ravid is questioning how the Rambam paskin like Rav Huna. He says, "Are you going to tell me?" He says, "The Gemara on the base says not like Rav Huna." So the Ravid is saying this is one case. So what I am saying is, Lefi Ravid, he doesn't have a kasha only on the Rambam. What's pshat in the Gemara? And also, how can he paskin makdish by and yofa makdish? If the Gemara on the base is paskining not like Rav Huna, which is Ayin Ro Makdish, so then how does he pass Kana like that? That's the, number two, we don't understand Bechlal how Makdish buying Yofa Makdish has anything to do with Rav Huna's din. And the truth is, it can't be that it has anything to do with Rav Huna. Because at the same time that the Gemara is basing Rav Huna on Makdish buying Yofa Makdish, the Gemara now unleashes Brise after Brise against Rav Huna. Why are you attacking Rav Huna? There's a Chevel HaTanoim, that old Makdish buying Yofa Makdish. If Rav Huna didn't do anything more than say Makdish buying Yofa Makdish, that is totally benign. He didn't get himself into any controversy. That's a Machlokes B'Sha'as. Many Tanoim hold Makdish buying Yofa Makdish, and Rav Huna didn't do anything more than that. Then why are you starting up with Rav Huna? The Gemara now goes with Eisvei. What are you asking on Rav Huna? Rav Huna didn't do anything. He just said Makdish buying Yofa Makdish. So it's Muchach that there's some other trick here that Rav Huna held of, and that's what we're bothered with. For some reason, the Gemara is not talking about that other trick. The Gemara only says Alma Kesavah Rav Huna Makdish buying Yofa Makdish. That's all. But there is something else which our Gemara doesn't tell us what that is, and the Rambam doesn't either tell us. The Rambam just says, Hikdish saw the Afa Pisha Loi Pirish, even though you didn't specify that. When he brings down Rav Huna's din, he brings down the din of Rav Huna as a Chiddish Afa Pisha Loi Hikdish Ilanais, even though he wasn't Pirish Ilanais, he's Hikdish Ilanais. Because Ba'ayin Yofa Makdish. And then he says the second halacha. But he doesn't tell us why that is. Why is that second halacha? The Gemara only says, Alma Ba'ayin Yofa Makdish. That's all the Gemara says. Now Rashi also doesn't give us much clarity in this issue. Rashi says, Ilonais levad v'karka levad. What does that have to do with Ayin Yofa Makdish? The loisha yivde ilonais agav karka. That's not up to him. Let us say, that's like saying a guy is makdish yistei achuzah, but he doesn't want to redeem it with a flat rate. He's being makdish paudosei saspaste. It's worth $1 million a kur. He doesn't want to give Chamishim Shek. He wants to give $1 million. What do we tell him? L'chaim u'shalom. You give $1 million, that you can always do. Lo'olam tikach. Hekdish will take the money. But that will be a donation. That's not going to be pidyon. Because the pidyon is dictated by the Torah. Not by what you want to do. Your ayin hor and your ayin yoseh is no relevance as to how we're going to redeem this field back. We're going to redeem this field back based on the dictate of the Torah. How the Torah decides he makdish this field. Not based on what you would like. What you would like plays no role. It's really a plea. So what does Rav Huna hold? So Reb Zev, I'm asking to you. I'm asking you, that's what I just said. What I'm saying is it's obvious from the sugya that there's something else that for some reason is quiet. We're not talking about it. Whatever Rav Huna's other trick is. There's two things in Rav Huna. One statement Rav Huna said is totally benign, which is Rav Huna holds, obviously, Makdish, Bayin Yofa Makdish. That we have no problem with. That's a generic Talmudic, you say it, we have no shaila with that. No. But the fact that Rav Huna said that you redeem the field separately, that's a big chiddush. And that the Gemara presents many kashas against Rav Huna. So what is that other yesod that he holds of, number one? And it's also difficult to say it has nothing to do with Ayin Yor and Ayin Yofa. Because the Gemara, that's all the Gemara tells us. Rashi clearly is telling us it absolutely has to do with Ayin Yor and Ayin Yofa. Because Rashi on the Divrei HaMaschil, Ba'ayin Yofa Makdish, Rashi's a Mefarish. Rashi's telling us Taich. Rashi says, Ilonis Levad V'Karka Levad. So Rashi is telling us that there is no other trick. Rashi is telling us, this is it. You just saw it. You saw the whole stickle tail. Rav Huna holds Makdish by Yofa Makdish. On the other hand, right, that's what you have to say. You have to say, according to Rashi, you have to say that there's two dinim. Number one, it's obviously something to do with Ayin Yofa and Ayin Roha. But it's something more than that too, because otherwise we wouldn't be just bothered with Rav Huna, we'd be bothered with everybody else. But whatever that other thing is, it's inclusive in this under the umbrella of Ayin Makdish Bayin Yofi or Makdish Bayin Ro. That's how you have to learn Rashi to know what that is. What is it? Okay, so now the Gemara presents a bunch of kashas on Rav Huna. The Gemara asks from our Mishnah. And the Gemara says, Hachanami poida v'chayzul poida. The Gemara asks from the orchards, Roy l'pardesus. The Gemara asks from Hikdish loy shilonois. And each case, the Gemara says, poida v'chayzul poida. Finally, the Gemara brings another braisa. Hamakdish es asod, hikdish es kula. Rev Shimon Haimelo, hikdish alachor v'amukh, v'sat nashikma. And therefore, he holds Ayin Ro Makdish. So any conflict we had with Rav Huna, we could say it's going like Ayin Ro Makdish. Again, the Gemara seems to say that if you hold Ayin Ro Makdish, then you don't hold Rav Huna's din. When in fact, L'chori, you could say, you could still hold Rav Huna's din. If it's not up to you. If in fact, halachically, when you Makdish a field with trees, the Torah dictates that how the redemption works, and the Torah dictates that the redemption is separate, then it doesn't matter what you're thinking. And if the Torah dictates that it's together, it also doesn't matter what you're thinking. So it's very strange that we keep on going back to this Ayin Yof and Ayin Ra. Clearly, I would say it's a catch-22. It's Mukach from the Gemara. It has to do with Ayin Ra and Ayin Yof. And clearly, the Gemara is saying it's not totally an Ayin Ra and Ayin Yof. You could hold Ayin Yof and still argue with the din of Rav Huna. The only thing the Gemara seems to be saying clear is that you can't hold Ayin Ra and hold a Rav Huna. That doesn't work. Ayin Ra and Rav Huna don't work. Ayin Yofa could work. Basically, Rav Huna is taking Ayin Yofa and pulling it to its limits. That's what seems to be what the Gemara is saying. Rav Huna is getting the most mileage out of Ayin Yofa that anybody can think of, and we're asking kashrus on Rav Huna. And Rav Huna either is going to try to dray one way, or he's going to tell us the Bryce is going like Ayin Ro Makdish. But there's no raya against me that you could pull Ayin Yofa to the extent that I'm pulling it. I'm pulling Ayin Yofa to such an extreme that it makes a chilek how you redeem it back. That's how far I'm pulling it. Not only what's included when you Makdish something, but it's going to affect how the thing is redeemed back. Generally, Ayin Yofa tells us what your intent is. And by definition, it doesn't dictate halacha. It just tells us, what are you including in your...
So if you hold Ayin Yofa, by definition, even talking about Ayin Yofa, that means that you're separating out the
Lonis
and the
Tarkas. Well, the Rambam seems to be saying the opposite. The Rambam seems to be saying that if you hold Ayin Ra, then you're not even including the trees at all. When the Rambam brings down a Rav Huna, he says, Hoysa Malaya Ilonos, Afa Pishaloi Pirish. That means we don't know if the trees are included or not, but since there's a din of Ayin Yofa, you're including the trees. Hare Hikdish Gamase Ilonos. Shekola Makdish, Ayin Yofa Makdish. That's a classic. That's a classic Ayin Yofa. That's the Ayin Yofa that we learn about all over. We have a shiloh. Do you mean to include less or more? If it's ayin yofeh, you're going all out. That's all. Nothing would begin. Wouldn't even begin. But Rashi, exactly. Right.
There is some,
well, that everybody holds you could do. That everybody holds you could do. Whether you hold Ayin Yof, Ayin Ro, you could be Mefarish. Ayin Yof, Ayin Ro is only used where it's vague, where we don't know. So Lemaisa, I was very happy to see that even though in our sugya there's quite a bit of shtika about this issue, but Reb Reuven finds a chetzadik levrocha, who was a Rosh Yeshiva here in New York for quite a few years, he in the Sefer of Bava Basra, he's bothered by this. He says, I don't understand what Rav Huna has anything to do with Ayin Yofa. That's his kasha. He says as follows. See, he starts off with actually a different question, but he gets there. He starts off, okay, I'll leave it at this, his second question now, because it's not really in a get house. But he says as follows. He says, I don't understand. He says, Alma Kasov Ravuna Maktish Bayin Yofim Maktish. V'chein Pasek HaRamba. He says, V'adom Atzorach Biyo. He says, I don't understand this. The Ma Shayich Kan Inyan Ayin Yofim Vayin Ro. He says, I don't see what this has anything to do with Ayin Yof and Ayin Ro. The Lo Yimotzinu Rak L'Inyan Kama Hikdish. We only find Ayin Yof and Ayin Ro when we're talking about how much you're being Makdish. Avol Kan, Kivon D'Hikdishon, Vadai, Ela D'Nav Kamina L'Inyan Pidyon, Kaimalon D'Agabari, Cheshivi Kama. It's all part one Pidyon. The Im Mishum D'Rotza, you're telling me this is what he wanted, this is how he wanted to redeem it. This is what the guy wanted. When he was makdish to the field, he said, you know, I have in mind, I would like to redeem the tree separately. So he says, so too bad. We don't care how generous you are. That's wonderful. Give, keep on giving. We don't have a problem with you giving, but you can't dictate how it's how. That's not up to you. He says, kosher loyma b'sforah. The Torah dictates how redemption works, and therefore, as the Gemara says, it's chal together with the land. He says, I don't even understand what's going on here. This is his question. But as I said, that would be no different than somebody coming to Hekdesh after he redeemed the field and saying, listen guys, I know the Torah says that there's a flat rate. I'm a generous guy. I'm involved in philanthropy. I throw my money around. I don't want to redeem it this way. I'm redeeming it with more. So Hekdesh will tell him exactly what I just told you. Listen, we appreciate your generosity. Please make out a check. Actually, that check is totally tax deductible. Because it's not pidyon. It's you're not getting any goods in return. It's tax deductible. But if you want to redeem back the field, als pidyon, this is how it's dictated. Exactly. That the trees are included. Right. Exactly, it's not up to you. That's his question. That's where Reuven finds kasha. What does Ayin Yofa mean? I mean, one second. It goes even further. Because the Gemara later has a shaila, when a guy is makdish a field, before it's a stay mikneh. Okay? Let's go to the furthest extreme. The Gemara continues and talks about a guy who bought a field, and then he yashened it. Right? And he was makdish it before he yashened it. Okay? Clearly, he was makdish by a yofer. Because when he was makdish it, he didn't even have the option of redeeming it as one. Because it was a stay mikneh. Correct? Still in all, the Gemara says that we go back to the Torah and we ask the Torah, what is this? Is this a stay mikneh or a stay achuzah? Do we go by Shas Pidyon or do we go by Shas Hekdesh, right? And the Gemara deals with that as an independent machloikis. Do we go Basar Pidyon? Do we go Basar Hekdesh? What do you mean? What's going on here? If you're telling me now that if we clearly know that when you were makdishit, you were makdishit under one banner, then we're going to tell you to redeem it the way you want, yeah? If that's what we're saying, then what's the Gemara's shaila? If you were makdishit as a stay mikneh, why in the world would we give you the leniency of a stay achuzah? You zicha makdish by in yofah. You had to be makdish. It wasn't even a choice. When you were makdishit, the Torah dictated you have to redeem it based on its value. So I was makdish $1 million property, let's say. So if I would have redeemed it back at that point, I would have had to pay $1 million to redeem the field back. Now it became a stay achuzah. Now you yashin the field in the middle, and now you want to redeem it back. So the Gemara says, well, we have to look at the Torah. What does the Torah say is the halach? If the Torah calls this a stay achuzah, so now you get the leniency, even if that's not what you intended. You intended to do something else. We don't care what you intended. We care how the Torah dictates that. Rav Huna doesn't have an issue with that either. Right? Rav Huna doesn't have an issue with that either, even though clearly when you were makdashit, your kavana was, not saying whether it was ayin yof, ayin ro. In other words, your kavana was to redeem it based on value, not based on a flat rate. It had to have been that was your kavana, because that was the halach. It was a stay mikneh. The guy went, he bought a field from his father. At the time that he bought the field, it was a stay mikneh, and he was makdashin in that state. Then it went and changed domains, and it became a stay achuzah. The Gemara has only one shaila. Do we go by Shas Kegdish, or do we go by Shas Pidyon? What does the Torah go by? The Gemara doesn't go by what your kavana was, because your kavana is irrelevant, it would seem. So the question is how we get out of this mess as far as just getting clarity. What are the Gedorim here? So I want to suggest to you a poshut, relatively poshut approach to Pidyon in general. There's no question that if we look at Pidyon as you're taking something out of the Rishus Hekdesh completely, it's a Pella. Because that basically means I put something into Rishus Hekdesh, and now the Torah dictated, how do I get it back? And the Torah dictated a process. That's not dictated by me, like Rav Fine is saying. It's dictated by the Torah. And if the Torah calls this achuzah, the bottom line is now Hekdesh is holding on to your field and trees, and the Torah looks at that as a stay achuzah, because the trees are part of the land, and the Torah says that when you redeem it back, you redeem it based on a flat rate, then it should have nothing to do with your intent. Because right now, I'm not a balabas anymore. Once I gave it to Hekdesh, I'm out of the picture. But what I want to bring out is that Hekdesh is not so posh that it works that way. Clearly, Tzvi, could you bring a Ritva and a Rashba and Chulin? Clearly, when you give something over to Kedushas HaGuf, to Hekdesh, clearly that's the case. If I take something and I give Hekdesh a Klishoras, now it's Hekdesh. Kedushas HaGuf has nothing to do with me anymore. Now, if I want to redeem it back, I'm really going and taking something that belongs to Hekdesh, that has nothing to do with me, and I'm redeeming it back. That would definitely be the poshut way to learn Pidyon. How much do you pay? So the Torah gave a klal. Normally you pay back based on market value. When it comes to stay achuza, you pay back on a different, it's a different, different way, a different evaluation, how you pay back a stay achuza. But I'll tell you, there's a fascinating sugi in Chum. It's found in the end of Chum, in Daf Kuflam Etes. The Gemara brings down, this is a Shaila Lagabi Shiluach HaKan, by Hekdish. The Gemara talks about how you can have Hekdish that's Chum. How can you have something which inherently was Hekdish, and then it became Chum? So the Gemara says as follows. The Gemara says here, he was Hikdish Khan Umerdu. The Gemara says then it was Murid. So basically, I was Makdish these bunch of birds to Hekdish, and then they decided to leave. The birds left the Rishus of Hekdish. They revolted. Okay? So the Gemara says now it's Chulin. Because Kivan Shemarda Pokok Dushasai. That's it. Once this, so it's an interesting thing now. Now the bird is dictating the status of the Kiddush. You will makdish the bird. Now we ask the bird, Tatala, what do you say? And the bird says, no, I'm not interested. The bird goes for a walk. We say, okay, the Kiddush goes off. The Gemara says, the bird is dictating the Kiddush. Flew away. So now it flew away. But now we caught it. We identified it. It has a little band on, Hekdish. The Gemara says, what happened to the Kiddush? The bird decided that it's not Hekdish anymore. What kind of thing is that? If you Makdish and Eved to Hekdish, would that be the same thing? So the Gemara says, listen to this. The Gemara says, Davke Kiddush is Mizbeach. The Kiddush has Domim Ninu. The Gemara says, over there, if you were Makdish a carbon oiler, okay, and I bring the Torah into the Beis HaMikdash, I bring the Yoin into the Beis HaMikdash, and all of a sudden the bird just flies away, and we find it, of course it's still an oiler. It flew away, big deal. It's an oiler. An oiler is an oiler. The Gemara says, B'kedush is domim, lo poka kedush yosei. Why? Kivan the murder. He says, therefore, v'nafka l'chulin l'gamri, says the Rashba. Now it becomes complete chum. That's it. And he goes on to say, he says, what's going on? He says, v'ikul medak. Just like you're telling me that if you have a carbon oiler and you bring it to the Beis HaMikdash and the oiler goes and flies out so the Kedusha doesn't go dissipate, so why should it happen to Berek Abayas? That's the Rashba's kasha. So the Rashba says, v'ikul medak. He says, So he says like this, the Efshaloima, the Kiva and the Hegdish Domim ain't by Kedushas Haguf, ain't the Hegdish boy Kinyan Haguf, Hegdish doesn't own it. You hear a Chiddush? When you are Makdish Kedushas Domim to Hegdish, Hegdish does not own it. Like I said, if the Rishonim wouldn't say it, I would say it's not Shaykh. It's not Shaykh. That's what he says. And this is the same thing that the Rashba says. That's how they both learned the Sugya. The Ritva and the Rashba both learned the Gemara exactly the same way. He says, Ein lehegdish el shibud momen. The kivon shenisyaye is a gizbo. Once the gizbo says there's no way I'm going to be able to get anything for this bird, so there isn't an inherent kedusha. The bird is like a mashkin. The bird, when you're makdish something to Berek Abayas, says the Ritva and the Rashba, it's nothing more than like a mashkin. Hekdish now, the only thing Hekdish has in this, it's not a Hekdish. Hekdish, this could translate into money. It could translate into Kedusha. Into value for Hekdish. Once the thing flies away, nobody will pay a penny for that bird. If the gizmo said, I want to sell that bird that flew away, the guy will say, yeah, jump in the lake. So now it means nothing to Hekdish. If it means nothing to Hekdish, the Hekdish is booked. Upokale shibud mom and shoyal oil. That's all. So this is the Ritva. The The Rashba says exactly the same thing in the sugya, a little bit of a different lashon, but the same idea. And this is really a fascinating chiddush. This really dictates a whole new way of thinking by Kedushas Berek Abayis, which is what the whole latter part of our Masecht is dealing with. It means that when I give something to Berek Abayis, I'm really not giving it to Hekdesh. I'm giving them a lien where they can use it to collect money. That's all they have. They have like a mashkin. That's all I'm giving Hekdesh. Loshan HaRashba's, little more detail, but the same thing. Who cares that the bird flew away? So it comes out, now we have to analyze, why is there even a din of Me'ila Behegdish by Kedushas Domin? This is a kasha yidl, you learned Maseches Me'ila, and the whole Maseches Me'ila. The halacha is, if you give something to Hegdish, there's Me'ila. Right? Doesn't make a difference if it's Kedushas Haguf, or it's Kedushas Domin. According to the Ritva and the Rashba, and the way it's poshut, the way the Gemara in the end of Chulin works, in Perak Shiluach HaKan, is that there is no Kedusha now. The bird doesn't have any Kedusha. It just translates the value that could go back to Hegdish. That's all it does. So why are you moil by Hegdish? If you have anor from it, even if you don't ruin it, you just have anor from it. Why am I moil by Hegdish? So what I want to suggest is that really Kedushas Domim has only two components. Component number one, what the Rishonim are telling us, the Ritva and the Rashba. It has a shibud. Hegdish has a right to take this object and cash it in, get money from it. It's number one. But as I said, there has to be something inherent. There is something inherent on it. The inherent thing that's on it is your nether. Just like if I went over to a piece of bread and I said, Kikor zeh osur alayka korban, right? So it's a korban. Now I have to treat it like a korban. Even though, does it belong to the Beis HaMikdash? No. But there's a din neder on it. But that is not because Hekdesh owns it, that's because of the neder that I made. So it comes out that when you use Kodshei Berek Abayis, what you're really violating is your neder. Oh, because that's the halach. If I could take my nechasim aseret on the whole world. The Gemara in Nida says that if somebody uses Kodshei Berek Abayis, he's makdish something, and then he uses it, Oiver Mishum Bal Yachel Devoroi. Everybody says Bal Yachel Devoroi. The nether is over. The nether just put it into Hegdish's domain. Now it's not a nether anymore. Now I have a business with Hegdish. I did something wrong to Hegdish. Terah says, no. It's not in the domain of Hegdish. Hekdesh only has a shibud. That's all Hekdesh has. I made a neder, so I have to keep my neder, so does everybody else have to keep my neder. So now there's a bal yachel dvogoy on my neder. Ashamilas. What do you mean? There's yesh mila by konomus also. If you make a koinam chloe, there's mila. The Torah said this type of neder has a korban mila. Special Gzeros HaKosov. So that's clearly the case. Now, if that's the case, so really, your redemption is completely dictated by your neder, not by the Rishus HaKadosh. The whole kasha that we had in this sugya was all based on the fact that, one second, I gave it to HaKadosh. I gave the trees to HaKadosh, I gave the ilonis to HaKadosh. Who cares how I dictate how I want to redeem it back? Now Hekdesh is holding on to Hekdesh's property and Hekdesh's trees, and the Torah dictates how I take it back. But now with this twist, it's a whole different way to learn. When I'm makdish my field and trees to Hekdesh, it's still mine. It's mine with Hekdesh has a shibud, and the dinim that I neveya from it is from my nether, which is still riding on it. The question now is, Is Hekdesh holding on to something of mine that has one nether on it or two nederim on it? And that depends. If my that goes by Das Hanoida, if my Das was to make one nether, so Hekdesh is holding on to something which has one nether on it. If my Das was to make two nederim, right? So then what Hekdesh is holding on to is something which is mine, where they have a Shibud Mammon, and it has two nedarim on it. One neder for the Ilanas, and one neder for the Karka. Now when I redeem it, it's completely based on the status of my neder. Not on the bialus of Hekdesh. Of my neder. Comes Ravuna, and Ravuna says, if that's the case, it's true that right now Hekdesh is holding on to the whole package. And we would rather just say, listen, it's a definition. Either it's a stay achuzah. Who are you to dictate? You say, absolutely, I'm here to dictate. Because my redemption is based on my nether, which is currently riding on it right now. And how many nedarim are there here? Is there a nether just on land, which includes trees? Or is there a nether on trees and a nether on land? And if in fact there are two nedarim here, each one has to be dealt with separately. And the nether of the trees is not a stay achuzah. And the nether of the Ilanois is the nether of the Karka is absolutely stay achuzah, and the nether of the Ilanois is not a stay achuzah. So the whole problem that we had conceptually, now we have to work it out in the Pshat of the Sugya, don't worry, that'll be next week. But the whole problem we had in concept was that once you give it to Hekdesh, now there's not a, like a rule of fine is saying, now the Torah dictates how you take it out. You can say, well, I plan to redeem it this way. You're not dictating the redemption, but you're dictating your nether. What nether did you make? That's why I said that we still have to. We yes, absolutely. Once we have that piece, then the whole sugi will fly. But I'm just saying the initial question is who are you to dictate anything here? Once it goes to Rishus Hekdesh, Rab Fein's kash is Hekdesh dictates how to redeem it back. The answer is no, because really it's still mine be'etzem with nedarim. Either it's one neder or two nedarim. Okay, we'll continue next week. We're not going to go weiter next week. We're going to stay in this again.